when the Hungarians occupied Bilka, immediately this whole thing changed. First of all, when they entered, it was in the evening, they were shooting, and some people were killed. Among them was one Jewish man who was going home from the synagogue, and he had in his hand, he had some coins that he collected for a poor family. And that's what they found in his hand. This was the kind of a person he was. He was a shoemaker, but very much involved in helping other people. As soon as they came in, they instituted the racial laws, like the Nuremberg laws. Jews were not allowed to practice their professions. Doctors, lawyers, professors, bankers, all these people were removed from their jobs. Property was taken away from the Jews. If you had a store, you either were forced to sell it to a non-Jew, or you had to just close it up. And so people were pressed for making a living. Then they decreed that every Jew has to wear a yellow star on their outer garments. You probably know what it looks like. And if you didn't, you were punished severely. And the reasons for it was because they wanted to separate the Jews from the other population. They wanted that they should be recognized right away, because otherwise the people there were very much alike. And if you have this thing in front of you and in the backs, in some places they had to have it on both sides, it immediately draws attention to you. In 1940, they announced that all males 18 to 50 will be taken to labor camps. In Hungarian, they called it Munko Tabor. That was the name for it, which means forced labor battalions. These men, among them were three of my brothers. They were older already, so anyone from 18 and up, they were in the early 20s. They were taken to military installations there, and they organized them like military units, but of course they didn't give them weapons, they gave them shovels. That was their thing. The officers were Hungarian army officers, fascists, and they were terrible to them. And soon after that, they were shipped into the Ukraine near the Russian front to build fortifications, to build airfields, to build roads, rail lines, all kinds of things, bunkers, whatever they needed for the war effort. And of course their diet was very meager. At first they allowed the families to send them some packages, which we did, but after a while they stopped that, they wouldn't allow it. For some time they used to send us a postcard from time to time, so we knew that they're still alive. But after that, it stopped, and we didn't know what happened to them. Later on, after the war, even though I'm jumping right after the war because this is a separate story, after the war, I found out here in America what happened to two of my brothers. One of them, the whole unit of 800 men, they got typhoid, all of them. And the Germans and the Hungarians took them and placed them in a stall of horses. That became their hospital-like. And they didn't treat them, they just placed them there. And on Passover 1943, they put on fire the stall, and all were burned alive except one, the one that arrived here in America after the war. And that's the one who told me what happened. He was burned all over, but he survived. I mean, this is the kind of atrocities they committed. This was one brother. The other brother was also not far in that area. I don't know if you know the history of the war, but in 1943, the Russians made a counterattack. After they pushed from Stalingrad, they were going all the way, and they came to that area, and they captured a lot of Germans and Hungarians, and among them, they also captured the units of the Jewish labor force. Unfortunately, the Russians didn't want to distinguish between them. They treated them just like the enemy. They took them deep into Russia, to Marshansk, which is 400 kilometers after Moscow. And they placed them in a prisoner in a war, prisoners of war camp, and they were placed in bunkers. That's where they put them in. My brother became very sick. He had dysentery. And how do we know what happened to him? He died from the sickness. One of the people that was with him together, also in this captivity, he was from our hometown, from Bilka. And he survived. And when he came back, he told us what happened. And my brother was begging him to give him some water to drink. Because when you have dysentery, you are very thirsty. But you are not allowed to give him water because that makes it worse. But he begged them to give it. And the next morning, because he was in a different bunker, the next morning when he came back, he found them dead.
So you said there were three.
Yeah. The third one came closer and closer, and he survived. In other words, the Germans were shifting them further and further until they brought him to Austria, and he survived, and he is here in America. I'll tell you about that later. So that's as far as my brothers in the labor camps.